We're going to go back to the subject I took up last week. I know it can seem, well, a lot of quoting, a lot of reading. Perhaps what does this have to do with us? But it has a lot to do with us. We need to be on our guard. We need to be discerning. We need to learn how to judge things. We need to see danger signs. We need to be concerned about what's going on within the body of Christ, because what happens within the body of Christ anywhere affects it to some extent everywhere, and that's important to understand that. Now, I want to stress again that this unsound, unfaithful prayer movement, even though, of course, we would there was a faithful prayer movement, but we're calling this a prayer movement. I don't know what else to call it. It's unfaithful, it's unsound, and it's not only widespread, though, and I wanted to stress that. It's picking up steam even as our nation slides further into darkness and depravity and lawlessness, even as the threat to religious liberty grows as well. This is what's driving it. People are concerned. People are afraid. People are very worried. And certainly there's cause for that. But perhaps there should have been much more prayer a long time ago with respect to the need for revival in the church, the need for reformation, and for God to rend the heavens and come down and melt the mountains, that they would flow at his presence, and so on and so forth. Now, I would also mention again that at these events, and by their organizers and the speakers, of course, but the whole thrust, it's not always open, but the organizers have this this stress put on unity across denominational lines. That's almost always the case, which includes Roman Catholics. Now, several of these organizations use the Apostles' Creed as the only and final determination of who is a Christian. This is getting very popular. You know, what do we need to identify who is a Christian brother? Well, we don't need so much. The Apostles' Creed says it all. I've been seeing this showing up even in new evangelical publications for a few years now. The Apostles' Creed should be the standard. Whoever will say, I believe what that creed says, he is a brother. And this is very handy for Rome and useful in her Vatican II separated brethren ecumenism of the trenches strategy. Let me read to you the Apostles' Creed. Having been brought up in the Lutheran Church, I suppose I could recite it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Well, I took this off one of their websites, and when we were in the Lutheran Church, it was maker of heaven and earth, but I will read what they have. They may have changed the word slightly, but not in ways that change what I'm trying to stress. This is not a proper standard. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son. I believe with us it was the only begotten Son, so they have changed a few things. Our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, when we were growing up, it was Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated. This is sort of like the, I can tell, it's like the NIV version. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. It's what, in the true Apostles' Creed, he ascended into heaven, sit at the right hand of God the Father, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, Catholic meaning universal, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, the Apostles' Creed, whether it's the new NIV version, whatever you want to call that, or the old one, is not the standard that we should use to judge who is a Christian. Roman Catholics embrace that, as do other apostate religions. Now, I've already mentioned that some of the leaders of this prayer movement are sincere, but they're sincerely wrong and unscriptural in various ways. Many are deeply compromised new evangelicals. Obviously, there are also among their number false converts. And then there are outright apostates also involved. So you look at these organizations, you look at the events, you look at the organizers, and you have this broad spectrum from the very sincere, new evangelical, maybe a person of great integrity in many ways, but scripturally, doctrinally, he does not have integrity. He's compromised. And then you go all the way over to full-blown apostates. Full-blown apostates. All of these organizations and events dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ and compromise and even corrupt his church because of their ecumenical nature, among other things. Many cases you have rock and roll involved and so on and so forth, but there is the ecumenical nature. In some cases, false gospels involved. And all of these then cause, as we look at false gospels and the ecumenical nature of these, even if you have the true gospel, at least the very simple true gospel, if you're ecumenical, you are preaching by that a false gospel. But all of these problems with regard to ecumenism and sometimes false gospels cause the organizers and leaders and preachers and speakers and in many cases the performers to have the blood of souls on their hands, as I spoke of previously. The prophet Isaiah warned the leaders and priests and not accepting many of the people in Israel of old that their hands were full of blood. In that case, the issue was murder of the body. But we are talking about spiritual homicide. It ought to be talked about more. It isn't being talked about. We're not hearing people talk about and warn of spiritual blood guiltiness. The Apostle Paul was speaking of that very thing when he declared, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Acts 20, the verse 26 and 27. I spoke of that already, of course. But back to the prayer movement and a few of the organizations and events, very, very typical of the whole. Some of these are worse than others. I've selected some that are much worse than others. All are an offense to the Lord and will only make matters worse, not better. We have to understand this. This is a bad thing we're talking about. It's going to make matters worse, not better in our nation. Isaiah 1, that same chapter that we were in, verses 16 and 19, what follows after what I had spoken of earlier, your hands are full of blood, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. How is the faithful city become an harlot? Yes, there's much spiritual harlotry among evangelicals today, and we have talked about that before. Well, the prophet speaks of that which the church should be doing with regard to learning to do well, and they weren't. And we look at the New Testament, and we look at this in the context of a spiritual people, a spiritual issue we're looking at. We're looking at spiritual blood guilt, and we have this. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Leave off it. Stop it. Get away from it. Learn to do well. Now, I'm going to run through a few of these organizations. I think it's worthwhile. You have Call to Fall. Call to Fall. And it's a network of pastors and churches. They have ongoing prayer, but also special days of prayer as well. Since they were formed in 2009, since this particular part of this prayer movement began, this group in 2009, they've had 2,241,580 individuals and churches involved that have signed up to be part of this. Now, it was organized, and it's led by a number of obviously sincere evangelicals. These are not the openly apostate or anything people. They're very sincere, many of them. They have a declaration. They say this, the call to fall declaration comes straight from the passages of Scripture. And then they quote, and it's in a modern translation, but they quote a scripture that is used often for these day of prayer by these organizations for various events as to their purpose also. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me just read it to you from King James Version. We have, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. They go on in their declaration to say the journey back to God to forgiveness and favor begins on our knees in humility and repentant prayer. Consider the words of the declaration prayerfully. I will answer God's call to fall on my knees in humility and seek his face in repentance so that he might forgive my sins and heal our land. And so again, they're overlooking something. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Well, ecumenism is wicked. Now, if you do a sin in ignorance, that's one thing. But there's plenty of truth out there now, more and more so. And I can't believe all these people are doing this in ignorance, and I know they're not. I know that for a fact, that many of these people have been confronted. And so we can repeat these scripture verses, but we're, in a sense, just openly indicting ourselves of being wicked. And we're actually before God saying, well, this is what we should do. Turn from this, but we will not. And so it's very sad. It's a very sad situation. And so they really want to get churches involved, and they want, I think they have a big day coming up again soon, and for us to be involved, all churches and everything. This organization is not so extremely corrupt, and certainly not openly so as some of the prayer organizations. The problem with Call to Fall is that it is a ministry of the Family Research Center. Now, you've heard of that. There's some very good folks, I mean good in the sense of, you know, they're sincere people and moral people and all that. It's headed up by Tony Perkins, and I don't doubt that he's a very good man and all of that in many ways. But the problem is the FRC very much embraces Romanism as Christianity and openly. I just flipped through a few of their articles that they had on their website. Just very briefly, I'll read you a couple things to back up what I said, which has been the case for a long time. Robert Morrison, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies at Family Research Council, had an article that also appeared at Catholic.org. He tells his story, gives his testimony, and he says this excerpt. This is from last year, or May 14, or 2014, actually, it was posted. When I came to faith in Christ, however, I knew which Protestant church I would not join. It was one of those that constantly preach against the Catholics. And then another excerpt. We may not yet be in full communion, speaking of Protestants and Catholics, but we are ready to stand with one another and to honor each Christian leader's efforts to speak truth and power to an increasingly hostile media world. That's why I, as a Lutheran, he's actually a Lutheran, can celebrate the canonization of these two Catholic popes. And I think it was Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul. And here's another one by the senior vice president. This is taken from one of his articles right on the website, Family Research Council. It also appeared in Religion Today. And so, you know, this is part of what Family Research Council does, this sort of education. He was talking about religious persecution, and he said the suffering encountered daily by believing inmates of North Korea's gruesome gulag system, the almost weekly mass murders of Christians in Nigeria, the Stalinist repression of pastors and churches in some of the states carved from the former Soviet Union should humble every American who names the name of Christ, evangelical, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox. It's open season on believers in far too many places. So that tells you where they're coming from and what they're all about. And so, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I mean, God will lead us to all light. These men have definitely their leaders, and they have been a long time. They have turned away from the light of the Scriptures, the truth of the Scriptures. They have been involved with Catholics, and they know what the Catholics believe. Even those of us, if we go way back and we got involved in the pro-life movement, and we were trying to save lives, and we were, in many cases, new Christians, and it's good to save lives, and so on and so forth, but this part of it was bad, the ecumenical part. But even so, we may have bought this, well, it's a war, and, you know, and you get together in the trenches to save a life together, all right. You're not looking at the whole picture here, though. But at any rate, even then, some of us were very troubled. Even then, we tried to witness. We were troubled in our conscience. And then we came to the full knowledge of the truth that you can't yoke with Roman Catholics in a ministry such as that was. And you have to find the right way to do things. And so there's the FRC. And again, when you come to appear before me, who hath required of this at your hand to tread my courts? And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. So you can emphasize prayer. That's the answer. Prayer. We pray. We come together, all Christians, Protestant, Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and we pray together, God's people, and their hands are full of blood. These evangelicals that are organizing this, their prayers, make many prayers, I will hide mine eyes from you. Hide his eyes, have nothing to do with it. Then we have the gathering, a national solemn assembly. This is actually an organization but that's putting this on, but it's September 21st, 2016, one vision, one voice, one agenda. Now, I took some things down off of their website, and bear with me, and I'll read some of this. And as you read this, you understand, too, the issue here is people being deceived by good words and fair speeches as well. The gathering is the body of Christ coming together across racial, denominational, and generational lines. There it is again, denominational lines, this unscriptural unity. Together we meet to lift up the name of Jesus and take responsibility for our nations. Pastors and lay people will join each other in Southlake, Texas, and across the country through LifeWay's live streaming service to focus on truly manifesting unity in our nation under God. Well, there's a good unity, scriptural unity, a spiritual unity, and there's a bad unity, of course, an evil unity, a unity that benefits the cause of the devil. And LifeWay, by the way, is Southern Baptists. It's their, what is it, like a book company. It's all sorts of different things they sell. Going on, the gathering has one purpose, to unite the body of Christ in America, all believers, regardless of race, age, or denomination, prayer for forgiveness, wisdom, and provision for our nation. So we pray for forgiveness, but our hands are full of blood, again, just on that issue alone. God will hide his eyes from them. And then they quote 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 again. These are deceptive times. So they're having this solemn assembly. What is a solemn assembly? Whenever a solemn assembly or sacred gathering has been called in Scripture, it has usually been called by those in leadership, whether that be priest, prophet, or king. And it has usually been called for leadership first, even in America. Our historical records verify that prior to every national awakening, the spiritual leadership of the day has placed a heavy emphasis on gathering in smaller groups for fasting and prayer, which then led to larger groups and greater change. They're wrong on that. The Great Awakening, that's not how it broke out. And we think of Jonathan Edwards preaching in that church and Almighty God suddenly by his Spirit moving on those people and revival breaking out and spreading out. It wasn't leadership. In fact, the leadership, if you will, of the church by and large was against such preaching. And if you think of the revival of 1857, when did it start in New York? 1850, right in there. I may not have the right year. But it was a man. It was an evangelist that started calling a prayer meeting. It started with just a few people, remember? Business people at lunch. And it grew from there. Now, I'm not saying leaders, pastors and others shouldn't be calling for fasting and prayer, sure, and all that, but this is not how it happened. National revival, they go on to say, must begin in the heart and in the home before it can spread throughout communities and nations. A couple of things, too. I'm not saying there have been no awakenings started like they said. I'm just or anywhere, but I'm just saying, you know, as far as our country, they're not right. And as far as I don't think they understand what revival is, because they often speak of revival when really what it is a great awakening. We need to have the church revived and go out into the world and a revived church, then God uses that for a great awakening. But let's go to the platform guests at the gathering. 35 men and women. It's a number I'm not familiar with, and I haven't taken the time. In my lifetime, I've done so much research, and others close to me as well, and I didn't take the time to research all these folks. The ones I'm familiar with make it clear that this solemn assembly will be an offense to the Lord, and he won't hear their prayers. It's a collection of women preachers, flaming ecumenists, Manhattan Declaration signers, charismatics, and who knows what, because they don't know all these. There could be some folks there that are worse than some of the ones I'm going to name, but Dr. Tony Evans, Pastor Greg Laurie. You got the woman preacher, Ann Graham Lotz. She is terrible to watch. She's offensive to any Christian, I would think. She shouldn't be preaching. She fancies herself a prophet. Billy Graham says she's the best preacher of the Graham family. And she's obnoxious, disgusting. And she's wicked. Max Lucado, Kay Arthur, Jonathan Falwell, Sheila Walsh, remember her, or have you heard of her? Charismatic from the 700 Club thing. Nick Hall, Samuel Rodriguez, he's popping up all over. Leith Anderson, formerly, I think, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. Dr. Richard Lamb, formerly with the committee of whatever, social whatever, with the Southern Baptists. These are not good people with regard to faithfulness to Christ. These are not good people. God's not going to hear these prayers. He's going to hide his eyes from them. They're going to make it worse. Next, the response. A call to prayer for a nation at the crossroads. I will read something off of their website. They're going to have gatherings of prayer and fasting. Joel 2, they reference, of course, with the assembly there, the solemn assembly that's told about. They have all these gatherings, and they say America is at a crossroads, and the root is not to be found, the root of the problems in political agendas, economic doldrums, crime rates, or terrorist threats, as many believe. Our country is in crisis because we are a people who are no longer honoring God in our prosperity or humbly calling on him in our predicaments. Now, I want to stop there because, you know, these people are seeing the situation we're in, and they are concerned, but they're not turning to the right answer. And this is what's so tragic. If there are evangelicals that are beginning to realize that, so to speak, we're in big trouble, if you want to put it that way, our nation and even the church, and things are falling apart in many churches and so on and so forth, so we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to turn back to God. And they go from one doing one wrong to doing another wrong. The devil just leads them into this where, oh, we're going to respond, we're going to pray, we're going to humble ourselves. And it's an offense to God the way they do it. You don't just do something. How you do it is important. The response is committed, going on to activating a return to prayer by those with contrite hearts to provide witness that the church is taking a stand for righteousness and asking God for his mercy on the land we love. As a nation, we must come together to call upon Jesus to guide us through the unprecedented struggles we face today and thank him for the blessings of freedom we have so richly enjoyed. The epic crisis facing our nation and threatening our future demands an epic response of repentance, prayer, and fasting, asking God for mercy on us and on our land. The call of God to his people in times of great trouble is to gather together and call on him with one voice, one heart, and a unified desire to see great blessing and great glory come to our nation again. The power of unified prayer from humble gatherings of the saints is found in the hope that he might answer us once again and turn the tide of our trouble and the host of threats that stand against us. I'm reading in a couple different places. Thousands are gathering all around the nation at the response. USA gatherings, the Response USA gatherings. We believe that it's vital that you be there too. Your presence will change you and it will change America. As a result of your prayers, along with others from your church and community, plus those of men and women from other churches, communities in every state, we believe a sense of revival will, I don't even know how to define what they're talking about, a sense of revival. Revival's revival. When there's a revival, they'll know it's a revival, will grow as together we proclaim a renewed sense of moral and spiritual purpose. We desire that the presence, power, and person of Christ fill our nation and turn the hearts of millions to righteousness and peace and joy in Him. We want the blessing and favor of a holy God who loves righteousness and wants to see it exalted in our nation, in this generation. We want to see real change across America, a revival that only God can perform. There is hope for our country, and while it lies in heaven, we will find it on our knees. Well, what's wrong with this? What's the problem with this other than, of course, there's not an emphasis on reformation in the church. There's not an emphasis on the church once more being holy, scriptural, in the old paths. But still, what's wrong overall with what they said? Well, the response prayer rallies are organized and funded by the American Family Association. The AFA is deeply, profoundly, proudly ecumenical. For instance, in the AFA journal, you find Roman Catholics just routinely called Christians, Christian brethren, and so forth. The AFA is very big on CCM and promotes that. And there are many, many other problems, scripturally speaking, with the AFA, whatever good motives the AFA people have. Now, as to these response prayer rallies that the AFA is funding, you couldn't help but admire New Evangelical Governor Rick Perry, Texas, for hosting one and speaking at it and praying at it. I have to admire him. Would to God pastors were training and warning and teaching rightly, scripturally, because this Rick Perry, I'm not saying he's not responsible personally for being involved in something that is ecumenical, that is put on by an ecumenical organization, all, but there's a good chance what he did in ignorance and all sincerity. But then again, maybe not. He is a new evangelical, and we all have a responsibility. If we go to a ministry, we're involved in a ministry, we go to a gathering of Christians, we're involved in some kind of cause, we need to know who's putting it on, who's involved, what are their beliefs, what are their goals, what are their connections, and so forth. But, okay, we have Rick Perry. He hosted one of these. We don't need to go any further. We've already told about the AFA and why God is not going to hear their prayers. He is going to turn a deaf ear to their prayers. That their hands are full of blood because they are ecumenical. But with regard to the ecumenical part of this, one of the prayer rallies by the response was hosted by Governor Bobby Jindal. That was last year, and he led the prayer. Well, Bobby Jindal is a Roman Catholic. He's out in the open, a professing Roman Catholic. So much for the response prayer rally. So much for the express goals of the response leadership team. We want the blessing and favor of a holy God who loves righteousness and wants to see it exalted in our nation in this generation. Reset movement. We just have this to do, and then we'll go back to the call that I spoke of last week. There's a real targeting of young people by corrupt new evangelical ministries and corrupt new evangelical churches, a real targeting to them. And they are pandering to the young people as well. And they are cultivating in the young people a sense of resentment and rebellion. And in time with some of them, I've seen it. Maybe you have. We've witnessed at some of these CCM rock festivals, even hatred toward Christians who are just sincerely seeking to be in the old paths and cleave to the Lord and the true gospel and to contend for the faith and for the souls of the lost. This reset movement targets young people. In fact, this is one of those ministries which is corrupting a multitude of young people from evangelical churches, as I say, turning them against faithful, scriptural, true Christianity and Christians who seek the good way. They have other things, but the big event Reset has scheduled for this year is Together 2016. The goal is to fill the Capitol Mall in Washington, D.C. with 1 million young people. I tell you, this is no small movement overall. Here's one organization. I don't doubt they'll get 1 million young people. But going to what I said, too, about them pandering to, quite frankly, a generation of young people that are spoiled. There's a pride. There's an arrogance here. There's a bitterness even if they don't get everything their way. This is the text of the video promo of Together 2016 to young people. You and I, we're not that different. In our hearts, we know that division is tearing us apart. Again, this real emphasis on unity. Forget scriptural unity. Just unity. You say you're a Christian, unity. That's what matters. It's killing us. We watch as our generation turns its back on the church. Here it comes. Many burned by her judgment, few seeing her love. I would actually agree with few seeing true Christian love, but they're seeing this false Christian love. You know, you want to do this, you can do it. It doesn't matter how you dress. It doesn't matter if you like tattoos. Hey, put a scripture verse on you here and there if you've got any room left. It doesn't matter, you young men want to wear earrings and so on and so forth, and none of this matters, and you know we're not going to be so focused on the law, for instance. Oh, who wants to hear about that, and so on and so forth. Do you love Jesus, and so on and so forth. They're getting plenty of that false love. But this, many burned by her judgment. Oh, that's happening a lot these days, isn't it? These young people walk into the church, or they've been brought up in the church, more than likely an evangelical church, and oh boy, there's all these, like these stereotypes of these Puritans, and they're, you know, they're all wearing black, and they're every little move, and they're hypocrites, they're Pharisees, they're gnat strainers, you really see that, don't you? There's no judgment. There's no right judgment in these churches. But see, it's never enough. You know, you go down that path. Young person goes down that path of rebellion. You can't pander to that. You can't change their course by saying, well, I'll just be nicer. I'll just be a buddy. I'll just tell them how much we appreciate them. That doesn't work. And so here they are complaining. These new evangelical churches, they'll accept almost anything. It's still, oh, it's judgment. It's judgment. Something needs to change. Many believe it's too late, but we're the ones who believe. We believe Jesus changes everything. He changed you, he changed me, he can change our nation. True belief is demonstrated when we act to lift the sound, to reach out, to come together with anyone who believes shattering barriers that have kept us apart. On July 16, 2016, we're calling over 1 million people to meet on the National Mall to stand for Jesus in historic unity, prayer, worship, and a call for catalytic change. We are one family, one nation together who believe. Well, I'll tell you something. Our brother Sean and his wife Stephanie, who are out east, they're going to go and share the true Jesus. And we'll see if these folks feel like they're one with Sean and Stephanie. I know what's going to happen. I also pray God will move on some hearts and some will truly get saved. And so we should be praying for Sean and Stephanie, if there's any other brethren that go with them. But that's when you see the devil come out. We've seen it. But again, the call for unity, historic unity, everyone coming together, shattering all denominational barriers and so on and so forth. Everyone who believes. Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? I believe. All right, you're a brother. The sort of unity the Reset Movement is calling for is not unity of true regenerated men and women, unity of true Christians in the true Christ and spiritual, scriptural truth. That's obvious from the 38 speakers and performers who are going to be speaking and performing at Together DC. Now, some of these folks I don't know. Again, I haven't taken the time to research them, but I will tell you the 38, as far as I can see from what I do know, represent a rogues gallery of unsound, unfaithful individuals claiming the name of Christ. I'll name a few. Now, I've done research on these particular ones, and I've done Heart of the Matter program. So you maybe know of these, and you don't really need me to go on and on as to the specifics. you have among the CCM artists Hillsong United. That's a music group from Hillsong Church, which I've already said is simply demonic. It is. It's just demonic. It's unscriptural. It's corrupt. It's charismatic. They are all of that. They're charismatic as well. And then you have rap artists. We'll just move. There's a bunch of rock artists. There's a bunch of rap artists. Lecrae will be there. I've spoken in depth about that. Deceptive, treacherous Lecrae and his rapping. I've warned of him. Another is Andy Menil. I have also spoken of him on the Heart of the Matter. I won't go back in there. This is a bad character. I mean, this guy is really a bad character. But I will just tell you this much to get to how bad he is. Andy Menil, this is how bad he is. He recently came out defending the use of profanity by Christians, including in music. He said, who's to say what profanity is? There's nothing wrong with it. It's an expression. That's how bad he is. So those are some examples of who will be at this reset, this event, Together 2016. As for the speakers and prayer leaders at this event in D.C., with all these young people there, vulnerable young people, it's just a rogues gallery, as I said, of unfaithful, unsound, even Christ-dishonoring individuals. Let me just give you a few of them. Pastor Francis Chan. This is a very bad character, scripturally speaking, and I have spoken of him on the Heart of the Matter, as I have I done with Ravi Zacharias. You remember him. Luis Palau, I've already spoken of him briefly. Bob Lentz, that may not ring a bell. He sponsors these Life Fest conferences up at Oshkosh. Janet, Joy, and I went up there. Oh, it was interesting, to say the least. I had a sign which said, not Christian, rock and roll, the Roman Catholic Mass, because they were having a Roman Catholic Mass at this ecumenical music festival. Even though it's supposed to be evangelical, rock and roll, Roman Catholic Mass. I don't know what else I said. Do you, Joy? Anyway, it was enough to really get me in hot water with a lot of people. And then Janet and Joy were on the other side of the road. I was where the cars were coming in. People were coming past. They were over there hitting them early. And yeah, I heard it. I had a couple men about, a little younger than me that really, really, really wanted to fight with me over that sign. And then we had a little go-around with a priest, didn't we? Well, you didn't. You just hollered for me, and then I had to go around. Also, another speaker, woman preacher Christine Kane. This woman is just reprehensible. She struts around the stage preaching, and she is a preacher. Just reprehensible. In fact, I saw a little video of her at the Passion Conference. Josh Brewer of Lifelight Ministry Festivals, again, Lifelight Ministry Festivals, I've done a report on those. They're very bad. Janet and Mark witnessed at one of them, very, very bad. In fact, Ken Ham was one of the speakers at one of those. All right, let's go back to the call website, though. I spoke about the call to you last week, you remember. It's what got me going on this. But again, you know, the Reset Movement, Together 2016, their hands are full of blood. God will not hear them. They're only going to make it worse, not better. I want to go back to the call, and I want to finish there. Because it's a really, really big movement. It's been around a long time, and there's all sorts of young people involved. It really targets young people. I want to read to you from the call website. It's a prayer movement unto a new pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It's a fast, not a festival. The call does not advertise bands, they have them, nor promote speakers, obviously they have them. We are not about the exaltation of human personalities, they obviously are when you see some of the video. We are about exalting the Lord and Him alone. Our nation is in desperate need, here we go again, of the mercy of God and another, as I say, here we go again, great spiritual awakening, which will only come as the body of Christ gathers together in prayer. We must drop every barrier that divides us and unite in prayer with the promise that God will pour out His Holy Spirit. God's promises, as you look at something like that, there's a condition to that. And you can't come together, drop every barrier, and Catholics and charismatics and all sorts of apostates and new evangelicals come together. I mean, this is the siren call of the devil. Absolutely. There is a unity of the true body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. We better turn there. I just want to read that quick, a little of the context. I know I'm kind of thrashing around here, but Ephesians 4, the verse 13, we'll start in 11, and he, Christ, some apostles and some prophets. We know that speaks of the apostolic era, the time of the apostles, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, strengthening of it, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, and going on. And see, this is key. I mean, this is all about the sleight of men. This is about the wind of doctrine. This is about cunning craftiness of Satan himself. And you don't base unity on that. It's unity of the true faith. Now, going on with the call, let's believe that stadiums will be filled with signs and wonders, very much charismatic, pulling young people into that. In this day and age, there are more and more people getting involved in that because it's sensual. It's the senses. I see it. Something happened. I'm excited. It's sensational. They want the senses and they want sensation. We are entering into the days of a third great awakening and another Jesus people movement. Well, even there shows how corrupt they are. You combine a great spiritual awakening, hoping for that. You say third, so you're comparing to the other true great awakenings in our country. And then the Jesus people, USA movement. Talk about a corrupt movement. Shaping history through prayer and fasting, reading from the Call website. Over nearly two decades, the Call has been hosting massive Joel 2 cataclytic gatherings for the purpose of prayer and fasting. We have been governed by singular missions of prophetic clarity. We call them divine national assignments. It is in, listen to this, cunning craftiness. It is in our DNA to operate with strategic insight and legislative prayer. Legislative prayer, it's a charismatic thing, but they're talking about prayer, to confront false ideologies while motivating the body of Christ towards greater depth of consecration to Jesus in both love and unity. A little bit about Lou Engle, the founder and the leader. Lou Engle is a revivalist, visionary, and co-founder of The Call, Inc. For more than three decades, Lou's passion has been to call believers into radical consecration through prayer, fasting, and acts of justice. Lou has been involved in church planning, establishing prayer movements and strategic houses of prayer. He is the founder of the pro-life ministry Bound for Life and has inspired other justice movements. And then it says he's in California is where he resides. He's also part of the leadership team of the Pasadena International House of Prayer, and he recently launched the Spiritual Air Force Academy. More on this site about that. We won't go there. But with a mandate to train and deploy teams across the world for breakthrough intercession in partnership with missions. And it talks about his wife, 34 years, seven children. You have to understand what these groups are about and recognize this language and compare it to the scriptures. You look at what they're doing. You look at the scriptures. Look at what they're saying, doing, and then you look at the scriptures and you judge by the scriptures. The Call is a massive, united, solemn assembly in times of national crisis. What I tell you, here we go again. The Lord called Israel to corporate gatherings of prayer, fasting, worship, and repentance. The Call is a response to the urgent summons in Joel 2, 15 through 18. Declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, bring together the elders, gather the children, of course. Start out with a corrupt Bible translation, think you're going to get somewhere. The Call exists to see the ending of the shedding of innocent blood in our nation. One of the mandates of the Call is to mobilize a prayer justice movement to defeat the spirit of death over our country, known as the abortion industry. The Call is about reconciliation and the spirit of Elijah. When reconciliation happens individually and corporately between God and man, it opens the door for reconciliation between races and ethnicities. They're about that too. God calls his house a house of prayer for all nations, Mark 11, verse 17. It also releases generational reconciliation, the spirit of Elijah turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, Malachi 4, 6. The call seeks to raise up a Nazirite generation in a morally denigrating culture. God is raising up consecrated ones to live as John the Baptist lived, as burning and shining lamps. Ever hear of spiritual degeneration, degradation? That's what this is all about, though. They talk about moral degeneration, and it's there. It's a concern. But you have to deal with the spiritual first. The call exists to bring glory to God, not to men. And it goes on, and it goes on. The call is rooted in love. The heart of the call is love for God and for all people. Our desire is to see God restore the foundations of Christian faith in America and revive the nation. And it goes on. Our vision for 15 years, the call has gathered hundreds of thousands to stadiums of America for solemn assemblies and catalytic. What is this catalytic? Catalytic gatherings in the spirit of Joel 2. Anyway, and then this. We are gathering together 100,000 on April 9, 2016 at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. This is where we came in. This is what I started telling you about in the beginning. This is what provoked me to get into this prayer movement. This brings me to that event I spoke of at the beginning of this message, the event that provoked me to take up this issue. The event which the call staged on April 9th was titled Azusa Now. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Azusa? Well, it was called to commemorate the famous Pentecost, quote, revival, unquote, began on Azusa Street in L.A. 1906, supposedly went into 1915. All sorts of horrible things came out of that, signs, wonders, charismatic gathering. It was sort of the thing that catapulted the modern Pentecostal movement forward in America. You want to call it the modern one. Azusa Now, as is typical of the call prayer events, featured CCM musicians, all manner of unsound and even apostate preachers. As always, there was a great emphasis. I saw some of it on a video, a great emphasis on unity, on scriptural unity, breaking down all the barriers of doctrine that the Lord has set forth, which define and protect his true church. And then, to get to this, as part of this devilish agenda, a participating Roman Catholic leader on stage with other Romanist leaders and evangelical leaders, quote around evangelical, declared to Lou Engel, "We wanted to, Lou, kiss your feet as Catholics and just honor you with this gesture right now." And then the Roman Catholic fell to his feet, flat on his face, and kissed the foot of Engel for a long time, while others laid hands on him and prayed and put on this show. And camera views of the audience shows that the young people, 100,000 young people, mostly young, were very, very touched by this. This Roman Catholic had been appointed by Pope Benedict, when he was Pope, to serve on the Pontifical Council for the Laity, and he's the founder of United in Christ. It's an organization that strives for ecumenism between Christians and Catholics. He just happened to be there at the call then. His name is Matteo Calicia. Now, prior to when he did this kissing scene, Calicia preached to the predominantly young crowd, telling the audience that division between Christians or evangelicals and Catholics is, quote, a diabolical sin, unquote, and also said that Jesus, quote, doesn't care, unquote, that Christians and Catholics disagree on biblical doctrine. It's not important. He doesn't care, I'm quoting now, about our differences. We're not going to be known by our differences, but for the love we have for one another. So he said doctrine doesn't matter, and he went on to say that. Now, when he had finished slobbering on Engel's shoe, Engel returned in kind, fell down on his face, and started kissing the Catholic's shoe. And he spent a long time kissing the Catholic's shoe. The others, they laid hands on Engel's and prayed on his back. They laid hands and they prayed while he was doing this. And then he stood up, and then they all... First, they had a Roman Catholic who preached against division some more, and then they all laid hands on each other and they prayed together. So think of that. 100,000 people, vast majority of which were young, were drawn to this prayer movement, and they were discipled in this way. And I want to tell one more thing about this. There were rock and roll bands there. One of them was Broken Walls. Now, that Life Light Festival I did a Heart of the Matter on, I talked about Broken Walls. I talked about this organization. It's headed up by a man who says he's a Mohican Indian. If you go to their website, you can buy jewelry, turtle, turquoise and others, shaped, in turtle. That's the sacred symbol of the Mohican Indian. By the way, if you want to go up to the shrine, just for educational purposes at La Crosse, and go through, the patron saint of that shrine is a Roman Catholic saint who is an Indian, a Mohican Indian, was a Mohican Indian. They've got some of her bones in the altar. You have to have relics at these churches and shrines. And you'll find a big monument, and there you'll see the turtle on that monument. Well, Broken Walls is part of what's called the First Nations Movement or Indigenous Peoples Movement. They're part of the Christian so-called wing, if you will, of that movement. Now, in that, it was August 22nd, 2014 program, Heart of the Matter program, titled The Darkness of Life Light. It was a report on the largest Christian rock festival in the world. It was a pretty good report. As I said, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham was the featured speaker at, or one of the featured speaker at this rock and roll concert, which was a days-long festival, which was so dishonoring to Christ. But anyway, I talked about this First Nations movement, and all I want to say about it here is what it is. It incorporates pagan customs, dress, rituals, dances, and all into the music and performances. That's what Broken Walls does. And so you can see them dressed up like Indians or Native Americans, if you like that, and wearing all their get-up and dancing and using the same kind of songs and chanting and all the things the Indians did in their worship. And this First Nations thing does that. For instance, if you're a Scandinavian, you want to get in touch with your so-called, what do you call that, heritage, you incorporate, Viking stuff in. And you start taking, say you're in a church, you start taking some of the pagan Viking religions and you incorporate that in to Christian worship. And that's what the First Nations thing is all about. So, if you want to go minister in Norway or one of these places, if you want to appeal to them, then you incorporate all of that from their ancestors into your church service, and then you'll draw them in. And so Broken Walls is part of that. And yet here they are at the call. There they were at Lifelight. Ken Ham was also, and some of the others that ought to know better. So it goes. But to close, I would just say again that we have this scripture. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? These people are not pleasing the Lord. They're not making things better. They're offending him. They're making things worse. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood, the blood of souls. So we ought to pray that God would open their eyes to this. Pastors would start warning. And I want to just say this, too. Don't become cynical. Prayer is vital. Prayer is necessary. The Lord hears the prayers of his faithful people. We ought to watch in prayer. We ought to pray with thanksgiving. We ought to be instant in prayer. We ought to be fervent in prayer. We ought to be faithful in prayer. And we ought to believe when we prayed. When we pray, we ought to believe. And we ought to be praying for true revival. We ought to be praying for a reformation within the church, true revival in our own hearts, in our church, and in the whole church of the Lord together. Amen.